Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I want to welcome you to another edition of the Miracle Man Show here on Wednesday, March 31st of 2021. And I am your host, as usual, this evening, the Miracle Man, coming to you live from Midland, Michigan, which is where I live. I apologize for the late start. Just got back from Boyne Mountain. It was good that me and Aunt Shelley and grandkids got to be together, but to be honest with you, listeners, that doesn't mean it didn't come without a lot of disappointment, because we found out that not only was the water park closed, the indoor / outdoor pool, for whatever reason, is not even included in the package with the room that we stayed in. It was basically like we couldn't use it, which to me was me and the grandkids was a very big bummer. Because I was looking forward to seeing that pool, but never got to see it. What I did, it was the outside part only. And I'm going to be calling up there very soon to talk to them to try to rectify, try to see what on earth happened. No, I didn't book it, but yes, I want to see what happened because I am very concerned. I don't think this should be happening to anybody there. I have to say, like, well, the bedroom and certain things might feel nice. That doesn't mean you should be taking advantage of. So I'll be reaching out to them soon because this is honestly the first time in a long time that I was happy to leave a hotel / accommodation. That is other than being satisfied and it's time to go home, so you're happy in that way. Other than that, I mean, this is the first time I've felt happy to leave in a long time that I've felt happy to leave, like, any accommodation because it wasn't what I wanted it to be, like, in a way they didn't deliver. Oh, Miracle Man, do you mean all your hotels have been perfect? No. But usually they've been able to offset. With some good. But anyhow, I do apologize for the late start tonight. I just got back Like I said, we're back live during this Holy Week here in America. This is Holy Week for those of us who are Christians, and we're going to be discussing some things about that tonight when we get into the Word of the Lord here in a bit. So, there is something I just found out today listening to the radio, and that is that today is actually Spy Wednesday. Spy Wednesday, what's that? Spy Wednesday turned out to be the day that Judas betrayed Jesus. It was the day that Judas Iscariot betrayed Jesus. He was a disciple, but then he chose to betray Jesus. All right. So, I told you that because part of it was something that I never knew it was called Spy Wednesday. But I think it's cool to know that it is Spy Wednesday. Well, so what's going to happen tonight is we are going to, after a few quick announcements, we are going to go into some worship. We're going to read the Word of the Lord a bit. Then I have kind of what happened when in the Holy Week. And then after that, I mean, what I'm going to teach on tonight ultimately is the seven of Jesus. What are the seven things that Jesus said while he was on the cross? What are they all? What do they mean? Yeah, what on earth do they mean? And we're going to discuss those things tonight. And then Mark, I'm going to come across a couple of them tonight. When I come across one, I will stop right there and point it out to you what it is. So that you can have it. Because it's important, I feel, that you know what he said on the cross, that you have these things memorized. And so, then, like I said, well, as part of that, you know, the timeline. And then we have a sports update involving what happened with Michigan last night and Tigers opening day tomorrow. So We've got a lot of things to get to tonight. But real quick, before we get into the singing and then the meat of the night, I want to remind you of our two regular announcements that we regularly announce. First of all, I want to remind you that until further notice, things are now going back to normal. Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday night, regular time, regular start, regular end. Like I said, tonight, I apologized for the few minute late start. My plan was for tonight to very much be normal. But now, until further notice, we're going back to normal showtime around here. That's a little side note. And then, I want to remind you to please go online to riversofmiracles.com to find out information about the book, Rivers of Miracles. The story of a God Mother could not see but strongly believed in. It chronicles the many miracles in my life that took place over the years in my life. So many great miracles Jesus has done in my life. So many great healings, and all the things that he's done in my life, for which I am forever grateful. Forever grateful. I am forever grateful for what he did. Forever grateful for what he did in my life. I am forever grateful. And I mean it. Please go online and check that out. Please. We'll believe in God to sell that book for as many sales as possible. The other thing I want to remind you to do is go online to PayPal. And then on PayPal, you will see you will be able to type in Rivers Shukla, Rivers, R-Y-V-E-R-S, space Shukla, S-H-U-K-L-A. Then you can choose any amount you would like to give. If the show's been a blessing to your life at all, I would highly encourage you to please go on there and sow seed. The seed helps me keep going. And verse I want to share with you tonight is for my God shall supply all of my needs according to his riches and glory. Amen. Whenever I mention this, I try to always give you a verse to stand by as you sow your seed. Because I want to see you blessed. I want to see you blessed. That as you bless me, the Miracle Man, doing this radio show, I've been a blessing to you. You can be a blessing to me. Which in turn, you're a blessing to the kingdom of God. And you're allowing the word to go forth to more people. Amen. Amen. We're believing God for many souls to get saved on this radio program. Many souls. It's time to reap the harvest. Hallelujah. We're going to sing a couple of songs tonight. Oh, it's the blood that Jesus shed for me way back on Calvary. Oh, the blood that brings me strength from day to day. It will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Yeah. Oh, the blood that brings me strength from day to day, it will never lose its power. It's the blood that Jesus shed for me. Way back on Calvary, for the blood that brings me strength from day to day, it will never its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. Yeah. The blood that brings me strength from day today, it will never lose its power. Oh, for it reaches to the highest mountain, and it flows to the lowest valley. For the blood brings me strength from day to day, it will never lose, it will never lose. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, your blood stands in my defense. Earthly confidence is on my defense. Responds with righteousness for me. My earthly confidence, Jesus, it's your blood. Oh, your blood speaks a better word than all the earthly plane heard of all this earth. Righteousness for me, earthly confidence, it's only by your love. Oh, what can wash us pure as snow? What can make us hold your hands, no. Nothing but your blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, what can make us whole again? Welcome as the friends of God. Nothing but your blood. Nothing but your blood, King Jesus. Your blood speaks a better word than all the empty plains heard upon this earth. 'Cause your righteousness for me stands in my defense. It's only by your blood. Oh yeah, what can make us white as snow? What can make us pure again? Nothing but your blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make us whole again? Welcome as the friends of God. Nothing but your blood. Nothing but your blood, King Jesus. What can wash us? What can wash us white as snow? What can make us pure and whole? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Welcome as the friends of God. Nothing but your blood. Nothing but your blood, King Jesus. It's your blood, it's your blood. Oh, it's your blood, it's your blood. Oh, it's your blood of Jesus. It's the blood, it's the blood. Oh, it's the blood, it's the blood. 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 Oh, Lord, it's the blood, it's the blood. Oh, yes. What can make us white as snow? What can make me pure and whole? Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Welcome as the friends of God. Nothing but your blood. Nothing but your blood, King Jesus. King Jesus. King Jesus. King Jesus. Amen. All right, we're going to sing a couple of choruses together. All right. It's going to be Jesus Paid It All, the chorus of that, both choruses of it actually. And then we're going to go into the chorus of The Old Rugged Cross. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. It's Jesus. Oh, we love you tonight, Jesus. Oh, it's Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus paid it all. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Again, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Oh, so I cling to the old rugged cross, where my trophies are far away. And I cling to the old rugged cross. In exchange it someday for a crown. So I cling to the old rugged cross, where my trophies are far away. And I cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. And exchange it someday for a crown. One more chorus. Oh, there is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they pure as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. In the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you did for us. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did for us. You died on the cross for our sins, Lord Jesus. And 3 days later, you rose from the grave. You came out of that grave. You came out of that grave. You came out of that grave, Jesus. You came out of that grave. You came out of that grave, Jesus. And we're going to celebrate on Resurrection Sunday, Lord Jesus. What that represents. And thank you, Lord Jesus. This year we get to do it in your house. In your house. In your house. Yes, thank you, Jesus, for that. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for what you did on that wonderful cross. I mean, it was awful while you were on it, but we thank you, Lord Jesus, for what it means for us. And I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for this time in your word tonight, for what it represents for us as Christians. And we just give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' name, amen. And I make my confession over this program tonight. I say that sponsors and partners would come into this program. I say that finances would come into this program. I say that increases in listenership would come to this program. And most important of all, Jesus, I thank you for the huge amounts of souls coming into the kingdom of God as a result of this great radio program. In Jesus' matchless name, amen, and amen, and amen. Turn with me, please, to the book of Mark, chapter 15. Amen. Mark 15. Don't you love the Word of God? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Yes, I do. Mark 15. Again, if you're just joining us, the title of our message tonight is The Seven Sayings of Jesus on the Cross. Not like cliches, like those kind of sayings. These sayings are things that Jesus actually said when he was on that cross. Also, I'm going to give you a timeline. Verse 1 of Mark 15. Let's go. Very, very early in the morning, the chief priests with the elders, the teachers of the law, and the whole Sanhedrin reached a decision. They bound Jesus, led him away, handed him over to Pilate. Are you the king of the Jews? Ask Pilot. Let's turn the page. Yes, it is as you say, Jesus replied. And if you're looking for a saying to write down, by the way, listeners, that yes, it is as you say, at this point, he's not on the cross yet. So that's not a saying. Verse 3. The chief priests accused him of many things. So again, Pilate asked him, Father, are you going to answer? See how many things they are accusing you of? Jesus still made no reply, and Pilate was amazed. Now it was the custom at the feast to release a prisoner whom the people requested. A man called Barabbas was in prison for an insurrection, and he had committed murder in an uprising. The crowd came up and asked Pilate to do for them what he usually did. Do you want me to release to you the king of the Jews? Asked Pilate, knowing it was out of envy that the chief priests had handed Jesus over to him. But the chief priests stepped in the crowd to have Pilate release Barabbas instead. What shall I do then with the one you call Christ, king of the Jews? Pilate asked them. Crucify him, they shouted. Why? What crime has he committed? Asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, Crucify him! Wanting to satisfy the crowd, Pilate released Barabbas to them, and he had Jesus flogged and handed him over to be crucified. Verse 16. The soldiers led Jesus away into the palace, that is, the Praetorium, and called together the whole company of soldiers. They put a purple robe on him. They twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on him. And they began to call out to him, Hail, King of the Jews! Again and again, they struck him on the head with a staff and spit on him. Falling on their knees, they paid homage to him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple robe and put his own clothes back on him. Then they led him out to crucify. A certain man from Cyrene, Simon, the father of Alexander and Rufus, was passing by on his way in from the country, and they forced him to carry the cross. They brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of the skull. Then they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he didn't take it, and they crucified him. Dividing up his clothes, they cast lots to see what each would get. It was the third hour when they crucified him. We'll talk about this in the timeline portion. The written notice of the charge against him read, The King of the Jews, in caps lock. They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right, the other on his left. Those who passed by hurled insults at him, shaking their heads and saying, So, you who are going to destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, come down from the cross and save yourself. In the same way, the chief priests and the teachers of the law, including the Pharisees, Sadducees, couldn't seize and wouldn't seize. They mocked him among themselves. He saved others, they said. Himself he cannot save. Christ, this King of Israel, come down now from the cross so that he may see and believe. Those crucified with him also hurled insults on him. Verse 33, at the sixth hour, darkness came over the land, over the whole land until the ninth hour. And at the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you forsaken me? When some of those standing near heard this, they said, listen, he's calling Elijah. One man ran, filled a sponge with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus for Jesus to drink. Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to take him down, he said. With a loud cry, Jesus breathed his last. The curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. When the centurion who stood there in front of Jesus heard his cry and saw how he died, he said, surely this man was the Son of God. Some women were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of Joseph, the mother of Joseph, and Salome. In Galilee, these women had followed him and had cared for his needs. Many other women who had come with him to Jerusalem were also there. The burial. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. Now, in case you didn't know, listeners, where we're at right here is Saturday, between Good Friday and Easter. So, we'll start back. Again, the burial of Jesus. By this point, we're at 42. Mark 15, 42. It was preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath. So as evening approached, Joseph of Arimathea, a prominent member of the council, who was himself waiting for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for Jesus' body. Pilate was surprised to hear that he was already dead. Summoning the centurion, he asked him if Jesus had already died. When he learned from the centurion that it was so, he gave the body to Joseph. So Joseph bought some linen cloth, took down the body, wrapped it in the linen, placed it in a tomb cut out of the rock. So I made a mistake. That preparation day that I was referring to, that was actually Friday night. It was Friday night. like into the wee hours of Saturday morning even. Then he rolled a stone against the entirety of the tomb. I mean, the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Joseph, saw where he was laid. We'll start the first couple passages of verse 1. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, and Salome bought spices so that they might go to anoint Jesus' body. Very early on the first day of the week, just after sunrise, they were on their way to the tomb, and they asked each other, who will roll the stone away from the entrance of the tomb? But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled away. As they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. Don't be alarmed, he said. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, the Nazarene, who was crucified. He has risen. He is not here. See the place where they laid him. But go tell his disciples and Peter. He is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you. Trembling and bewildered, the women went out and fled of the tomb, and they said nothing to anyone because they were afraid. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told this, who had been with him in the room, mourning and weeping. And when they heard the comment, Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. While they were talking in the country, they returned and reported it to the rest. But they did not believe him either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. And their signs will accompany those who believe. And then later it says, you know, they will lay their hands on the sick and they will recover. And then the disciples go, they preach everywhere, and the word, it's followed with signs that accompanied it. So great. So, seven sayings. Into your hands I commit my spirit. I'm calling that number one. Number two. We read that tonight, Mark 15. My God, why have you forsaken me? Number three. In John. Son, remember your mother. Remember your son. I mean, behold your son. Behold your mother. Number four. He said, I thirst. That was when he was thirsty in John. Number five. It is finished. That was the last thing he said before he died. It is finished. Or another way we would say it is done. And then in Luke was the other two. I will make sure I have them for you next time. Matthew, I don't know where that one of mine went. I just went over John today. And therefore, I had the John ones right on me. Before we get us into other related things, let's talk about the timeline. The timeline. When did these things happen? As I talked to you earlier in the preliminaries before we sang, we had discussed that Wednesday was the day that Judas betrayed Jesus. So today, Judas betrayed Jesus. Tomorrow, so Thursday night, will have been the Last Supper. So, after the Last Supper, a bunch of people come. This is when they're starting to get ready for the events. Thursday night is when Jesus goes to pray, and the disciples fall asleep three different times. And they're sleeping because their eyes are heavy. And Jesus says, won't you pray with me for 1 hour? 1 hour? But they were tired and they fell asleep. Early Friday morning, they're deciding they start to mock Jesus. Take Jesus to be crucified. They're asking, you know, who should we crucify? They all said, Barabbas. He said, why? Why? What's he done? Then I asked Jesus, what did you do? He wouldn't answer him. He wouldn't answer him. Nine a.m. Third hour. In your Bible, in Mark, when it says it was the third hour, that means 9 a.m. So on Good Friday at 9 a.m., take a minute. Think about that crucifixion. We go forward 3 hours to high noon Friday on Friday. High noon, lunchtime. Darkness is over the land. It stays dark until the ninth hour, 3 p.m. Then, somewhere between late afternoon, early evening on Friday, he cries out, breathes his last. Friday evening, leading into Saturday, they put the stone down. They bury Jesus on Friday evening. Late on Friday night, wee hours of Saturday morning. And then, of course, we have Saturday where nothing happened. Really. Sunday. Man. Sunday morning. You know, Sunday morning, just after sunrise. Or just after sunrise. All these women go up to that tomb. First they're trying to guess, you know, who rolled away that stone? Maybe it was Paul. Excuse me, I don't mean Paul. I mean, maybe it was Joseph. You know, trying to guess who it could have been. They see that the stone was rolled away. Then they're alarmed and they're like, where's my Lord? They took him away. Where did they put him? And then in a voice, they hear, he is not here. He has risen. Woo, he has risen. Yes, he has risen. And then he appears to them, two different forms. They don't believe him. The ladies don't believe him. Then he appears to the disciples, gives them the Great Commission. You know, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And he says, you know, lay your hands on the sick, they will recover. If they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. Signs and wonders will follow those who believe. And all that great thing, all those great things that come with the Great Commission that Jesus commanded us to do. And so tomorrow night, of course, Thursday night, around when Last Supper would have been, at our local time, like 6 p.m., 7 p.m., you know, like 7 p.m. to 8:30, it's kind of like 6:15, about 8:30, 8:45 p.m., we're in church. And then during some of the other events, we would be sleeping, most of us. And then Friday morning, when he's crucified, 9 a.m., take a minute, think about it. Between noon and 3, during that darkness thing. Just think about that. Pray. Think about that. Just imagine. It'll make you realize, you know, Jesus did all of this for me. It'll cause you to have a great gratefulness. And then after 3 o'clock, he dies on that cross. And then in the evening, before the Sabbath day, the evening / middle of the night, somewhere in there, they bury him. then on Sunday morning, which I already got super excited about twice. Sunrise, which is at this point just a little bit above before 7. So I'll say 7:30. He rose. Now, we know Israel is, if you study time zones, you'll realize that Israel is quite a few hours ahead of us. Like, I believe it's 9-10 hours ahead of us. So, some of these Israeli times, we want you to sleep during. Right now, like in Israel, if they're like 8-9 hours ahead of us, in Israel right now, it would be like 4:45 a.m. So in 12 hours, you know, 7:45. It'd be 4:45 p.m. approximately. I'll have to look and verify after this to be for sure. But I think about a 9-hour difference sounds about right. That's just an FYI, but even if you don't know what time that is, around like noon. Like, example, 9 a.m. or noon or 3, you know, on a Good Friday. And on Sunday morning, you know, as we go through this weekend, think about it. And what does all these things that he did, so what does this represent for me? Well, the fact that Jesus died on the cross for you, that represents deliverance, freedom. It represents the death of the old man, the death of the old man who was bound to sin, bound to shame, bound to so many different things. The resurrection of Jesus, which I already screamed about twice. Amen. The resurrection of Jesus means life. Life. The life. Life everlasting. We can live again. Hallelujah. We can be free. We can be delivered. We can be healed. Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Amen. Woo. Amen. And I think part of me is just so excited that we get to be in his house for Easter Sunday, unlike last year when we were in the parking lot. So I guess for me, that just makes me a little extra excited, which I think is appropriate. But you know, my hope is that even as you do the things that you do over Easter. If you have kids, take them, and you take them to their Easter egg hunts, and to their little bunny hop, little bunny hopping contest. See who can hop farther. See who can hop the farthest. You know, with a little hoppity hop 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 things. I don't know what they do now. if you do that is. You know, that my hope is that you'll take time to pray and remember the things that Jesus did. And by all means, do not skip church on Easter Sunday. Be found in a church somewhere. Please. If your church is closed, find a good spiritual one that's open that you can go to celebrate Easter. Because I tell you, celebrating Easter in a parking lot isn't the same. No, it's not the same at all. And I remember last year, a couple of certain church parking lots in one state had nails placed in certain parking spots so that people wouldn't try to park their cars. In Jesus' name, we won't have any of that this Easter. I pray that our churches would be packed out. Packed out. I mean, I hope that in my church, of course, I won't be mad if not every seat is full. I pray that it's a very, very, very good turnout. That like 95% of the chairs are filled. And listeners, Easter Sunday would be a great Sunday to bring someone to church. They can give their lives to Jesus. This would be a great Sunday to do that. Then maybe after that you can invite them over to your house if they don't have family plans for Easter Sunday lunch. You can take them to your house or you can take them over to the restaurant. You know, some people say restaurant, some people say restaurant. You know. As long as it's a state that allows dine-in. Some places you may need to get a reservation. But I'm just so glad that my Savior died on the cross and then rose again. And he is risen. And then again, it's just this thing of ever since what happened last year with the lockdowns. I guess it's just, I don't want to take things for granted. And I'm absolutely not taking Easter for granted in the sense of what it means for Christians that we get to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Jesus, for these wonderful listeners. Thank you for this great word tonight. Thank you that you died on the cross for us, for our sins. You shed your blood for us, Jesus, so we could have a covenant with you, a new blood covenant with you, Jesus. So we can be delivered, set free, healed, and all these other benefits that you have for us, Jesus. And we take none of them for granted. Thank you, Jesus, that this year many places in this country we get together in your house this time around to celebrate your resurrection. And I give you praise and honor and glory for that. In Jesus' matchless name, amen and amen and amen. Amen. Yes. All right. In terms of sports, Michigan became the second number one seed to lose in the NCAA tournament to number 11 seed UCLA, whom their top player, Juzang, scored more than half of their 51 points. As Michigan showed up to the game looking relaxed, they played sloppy last night. They lost 51-49. At one point, they were down by 6 points when Juzang went out of the game with an injury. Michigan came back, got to within 2 points. Up times, even there, they were still sloppy. They tried for a couple of shots before the end of the game. Missed them. Someone I know has missed. Some people I know may have missed freeway exits and turns. I told you about that, Becky, didn't I? just saying. And so they lost to the Bruins of UCLA. Hail to the victors. We're on wonderful. Hopefully next season will be another great season with a lot of fans in that Chrysler Center. So hard for me to watch sports with arenas that are empty. It's hard. I like having those things full. At least 50%. Now the Tigers opening day is tomorrow. And they will be allowed to be at 20% capacity, so about 8,000 tickets, 9,000 tickets, like 8,000 and some tickets. At least from there, they'll be able to increase it to higher numbers. We'll just have to wait and see how it goes. I think they can improve on last year. My guess is they will win. ...77 games and lose 85. So a bit better than last year. Hopefully next year they'll be over 500. NFL. I have new news from the NFL. 17-game season is official. Opening day of the season with the new calendar is September 9th, with opening Sunday being September 12th. And then closing date for the regular season is January 9th of 2022. This is important because this means that the Super Bowl that would have been on February 6th in Inglewood, California, Los Angeles area, will now be on February 13th, which is late for a football season. That's awfully late. Hey, I remember when that thing used to be in late January. As early as like the 25th some years, and as late as the 31st. Now, as a result of this change, there will only be 3 preseason games, which I think is a fair trade. That's a fair trade. I honestly believe it's a fair trade. Why? Because that can allow another week of rest. My hope is that the week one preseason game number 4 would have been can be a week of rest. And I would like to make it that the window of when the bye weeks are is shortened a bit. So that many teams, their bye week will be more apt to be near week 9 or week 8 or week 10 or week 11. Somewhere near the middle like that. So that they may have played as many as 10 games or as few as 7. And then have either as many as 10 games left to play or as few as 7 to play. So the workload can be rather spread out evenly. I think that's fair. All right. That's what I have for sports. I confess Psalm 91 over us in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, again for your great resurrection. I say that no plague shall come nigh us or our dwelling. You have given your angels charge over us to keep us in all of our ways. No drug nor drunk driver, no rapist, no burglar, no murderer, no suicide, no fire, no flood, no crash, no sickness, no disease, no COVID. None of this evil will come near us. Our immediate loved ones will be in great peace and great joy and be a powerful witness for you, Jesus. Amen. Until next time, God first, God always. So long, everybody.